This is the last thought in the series on prayer, and it was in Deuteronomy 12:8. And God speaks out on worship, and worship and prayers go together, because one way to worship is through praying. And the first thing God tells the children of Israel, as they're going to be with a lot of people that don't know the Lord, he says, never worship in the way that is being done around here today. Why did he tell them that? Because this is where they were in that situation. Everyone does whatever he considers right in their own eyes. The big question is, what is the right way? And I thought a lot about that and the worship controversies and the struggles in churches with worship services or praise services and all that stuff that's going on. I did a personal study on worship in Scripture. You can take a concordance and start there and just look up the word worship and see what God says. Remember that God says his house, God named his house. He said, my house is called a house of prayer. And Jim Cimbala made a wonderful video called My House, the House of Prayer. That was so convicting as I watched that video. It's a wonderful video, and I'm sure it's still out there and you can get a hold of that. Now, so the first thing that God says, my house will be a house of prayer. Now, I have pastored 5 churches in the past. And as I look back, I was so grieved. As I look back on my ministry, a lot of wonderful things happened. But the one thing that I did not push was prayer. And yet, that should be connected with every house of worship, is a big emphasis on prayer. I was reading Tozer the other day, and he said, you know, some people use prayer as a bridge between one part of the service and another. It's not super important in the sense that it stands by itself. And I'll tell you, if there was teaching in the church on prayer, and churches that have prayer meetings that are accomplishing marvelous things, is a church that has been trained in prayer. And I'd like to share this video with you. You can get it at bookstores. You can get it from different book outlets. And it comes with a workbook. And it's wonderful. It's called When God's People Pray. It's by Jim Cimbala. My son took the youth. He was a youth pastor for a number of years. And he took a group of the youth to New York City. And they visited the Brooklyn Tabernacle on their prayer night. I believe it's Tuesday night. I may be off, but Tuesday or Thursday night, something like that. And they have a little scripture reading, but basically it's where the church prays for the needs of the community, for the country, for individuals, and so on. There are between, I believe, 2,000 and 3,000 people that pack into the Brooklyn Tabernacle for that prayer meeting. And you'll see that in this video. And what is interesting is that most of the people walk or take public transportation to go to that prayer meeting. Now, let me share some insights here that I wrote down, as God was speaking to my heart, about my prayer life. See, I think maybe I'll go over some of these lessons in here so you have an idea. Because churches that, even a small group that has watched these six lessons in here, have marvelously turned things around when they learn the extreme importance of prayer and the wonderful testimonies of people in this video that were prayed for, that were in impossible situations. The first is God's heart for us. The second one, the amazing power of prayer. The third, obedience in prayer. The fourth, the word of God in prayer. The fifth one, why prayer really matters. And creating a prayer ministry in your church that would fit your church. Not copying another church, but would fit your church. Now these, I can guarantee, these life-changing videos, you watch them and you will be blessed. Just how important is prayer in the church you go to? And I would like to close this segment on prayer, these five things. Why don't you ask God to give you a burden for prayer? God, give me a burden for prayer. I've mentioned this before. I received a phone call from Dallas, Texas, and they asked me to speak at the International Prayer Conference. And I told them no, that I prayed, but I was not a man of prayer. And they called back a second time, and I said, I really don't feel led to do this. I think there's many more qualified people. I pray, yes, but I'm not a man of prayer, and I know the difference. Well, the third time, I thought, this must be of God. And so I said, yes. How long do I have to prepare? And they said, you have a year and a half. And so I went through the Bible, and I looked at every time someone prayed. I marked it in green. I also marked every time God answered that prayer and how he answered it in green. And then the prayer promises that God gives, I would color that all in green. And when I got through, I could not believe how much prayer is in the Bible. You read a little here, you read a little there, but you read the Bible through, and you're going to see that prayer was a priority of God, because it's how we talk to him and quiet our hearts before him. And when we open the scriptures during our prayer time, God can speak to us so specifically through his word. I am thrilled with asking God to speak to my heart as I read his word. And then I've been telling you about this journal. And I write down the insights that God gives me, and the ones that stand out, I put stars even in here. So I can go back and find them. And the fellows I disciple, the four guys, different days, I share with them what God gave me during my quiet time. And they begin to share what God gave them. Not theological stuff, which is fine and wonderful, but what I'm looking at is how theology does not necessarily change your life. It can be very informative. You can do systematic theology and so on. About 10 years ago, I was asked to run a Bible school in Texas for training men for the ministry. And the one thing that was the third Bible school I was had been a part of, and since I was to run the school, we made the students' personal walk and prayer life with God a priority. We had 110 acres or something like that, and we had a private place on the property for each person that they could go to, undisturbed, away from the dorms, away from the classrooms, and cry out to God and begin to meet with God. And it was thrilling to see that in the course of years they were in the school, how much their lives had been transformed. My prayer is that you will catch a burden for prayer. And if you have some friends that you believe would love to see this video, I don't know of any small group that's ever gone through all those six sessions that it didn't change their lives and change their prayer life and change their burden for prayer.